Steph Gilmore that maybe you didn't know before, having him here on a day-to-day basis and seeing him behind the scenes?
Yeah, well, I mean, he's been here quite a while. We saw a lot of what we saw in the spring, I think, is what we see now. Professional, works hard every day. You know, has a lot of experience and understands how to play that position.
How have you felt he's fit into just the team good. Culture?
Good. Bill, it seems like Landry and Parker have at least had some statistical success against you guys. What about the duo of them and Stills? What makes them kind of a unique group of wide receivers?
Yeah, they're really good skill players. I mean, they're all good.
Backs are good. Tight ends are good. Receivers are good. So, they got good quarterbacks. So, yeah, they can get the ball to any of those guys. And the backs are very productive. And productive in the running game and productive in the passing game. And they're big play guys. I mean, they can, you know, hit the long ball on you. You know, make 50, 60, 70-yard runs. So, it's a very good skill group. I mean, they're all a problem. You know, if you don't do a good job on any of them, any of them can kill you.
Have they changed their offense at all since they traded the guy?
No, I wouldn't say so. I mean, you know, Coach Case does a good job with the offense. They're a little bit of a game plan team, so they do things differently depending on what you do.
There's an element of that every week.
Are they primarily all 11 personnel?
Yeah. Very heavy.
What Cameron Week is like still going strong after all these years? I mean, you've seen so much of him over the years, but what stands out to you from him in terms of the way he's been able to continue to produce as his career has progressed?
Yeah, he's having another good year. I know he's on the field in a lot of situations, not just third down. He's out there on every down. Plays the run well. It's instinctive. He's got, I mean, runs the edge, runs, can counter. Got some power, so but he's out there. He's playing quite a bit. So it's not just third down. Does a good job on all three downs.
How are they using the first round pick? Is he more of a sub rusher?
They rotate their defensive linemen, so kind of sometimes they sub in guys on third down, but a lot of times whoever's in there is in there.
Bill, during practice, we see Nick Caserio throwing footballs to different groups and. I think we all kind of know his role on game day in the booth with Josh. Is it unique to have a guy in the front office who's so hands-on, not only week to week, but also on game day?
Rare. I mean, name me another one.
How much value does that give you, I guess, just having him around the
school? Yeah, a lot. I mean, Nick does a great job, and he has a great interaction and understanding of what's going on the coaching side of it.
So he's
involved in the day-to-day coaching part of it. He's certainly involved in all the personnel aspects of his job, college, pro, free agent workouts, waiver, you know, all, I mean, everything. But you throw all the coaching stuff on top of that, the week-to-week. Role in the press box and on the practice field. I mean, he does a tremendous amount. I mean, I can't think of any other person that would even come close to that. I don't know who it would be. I don't know what everybody else does, but I mean, I don't know anybody.
Ted Karras stepped in at center Sunday, and at least from my perspective, seemed to be pretty flawless. How tough is it to step in at that position where it's so important to and pull off that kind of?
Yeah, it's a tough spot. It's a tough spot. You know, you're right in the middle of the line, so you're involved in everything. There's no plays away from you. They all affect the center. So that's a big communication centerpiece for the offensive line, just as important, the quarterback. So cadence and ball handling and so forth that goes on with the quarterback. I mean, the other guys on the line don't have to worry about that. So it's a key position. It's a tough position to step into because of the on-the-line coordination and also the quarterback center communication and ball handling and so forth. So he did a good job, but it's a big adjustment for a player to make, to step in and have to do all the things that a center would have to do, especially in our offense.
Bill, just to go back to Nick for a minute, you've obviously been around a lot of guys in various roles. Did he take on all those roles, or did you ask him to do them, or how did that sort of come about, that unique workload?
I don't know. He's had a background in both, so just kind of worked out that way.
Karras, what is it about Ted that allowed him to step in and be able to do what you talked about, you know, that big adjustment? Is there anything in it?
Been zone for 2 years.
I mean, not in a game, right? I mean, is it?
We can't control that.
Yeah. What does he have going? I mean, I guess, what does he have going for him, you know, that allows him to step in there? Is it smarts? Is it?
Yeah, all the things, yeah. There's a lot of playing experience from college inside. He's smart, he's tough, works hard, he's out there every day.
To what extent do does the success of one unit correlate to the success of another unit, be it directly or indirectly? What is the interplay between the success of the defense helping the offense, or the success of the special teams helping the defense? How do those things work together?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, they work together, and there's definitely a one influences the other. The degree of it, I mean, I'm not sure. I don't know how you quantify that, but it's an important interaction. It's an important relationship between the three units on the team, and they certainly help each other. To what degree, you know.
I guess we look at it as three different things, but in a sense, there's one continuity between what one unit does and then the consequences of what that unit does affecting another unit.
Yeah,
I agree completely. I mean, but again, to kind of quantify it is, it's hard. It's a little hard to do. It's kind of a feeling that you get, or I mean, obviously, it relates to field position as one group gets the ball for the other or takes the ball from the other group. Where that happens on the field, that plays a part of it. But, you know, the other, whatever unit's out there has to go out there and do whatever it is they do, kick it or move it or stop the other team or whatever it happens to be. But where that happens on the field and the impact plays that come from those units and how they set up the next unit is there's definitely a lot of interplay there. How you quantify it, I mean, I don't really know. I think we all know when we see it. I don't know if I could sit here and give it a definition.
How much does the defensive approach change late in the game if you're up by multiple scores?
However you want it to change.
Is there more of an emphasis on training clock than maybe not giving up yards?
Depends on the situation. There's a place for all those. You know, once you get to an extreme situation, there's no question about that. As the situation, you know, moves through that, it's called gray area, from light gray to dark gray, it changes. So depends on what point you're talking about. I mean, look, the game changes on every snap. First down, second down, third down. First down is at another field position. Ball exchanges. do it all over again. I mean, every play really is a situational play. So, and one time and score become a factor, time at the end of the first half, and then time and score become a factor at the end of the game. Then, I mean, obviously that overrides a lot of things too. So, a lot of times you're from a coaching standpoint, you're really only coaching three quarters. I mean, the fourth quarter, a lot of times is defined by the situation. So, at that point, you're playing whatever the situation is. It's usually not defined too much before that sometimes, but not usually. So then but whenever it becomes defined, or whenever, you know, you feel like it changes, then now you're playing situational football. But again, every down really is a new situation.
You mentioned the end of half situations. I believe you guys are outscoring opponents 36-14 in the final minute of the first half. What do you attribute that success to late in the half?
I don't look. I attribute all of our success to good players and good execution. I mean, that's in the end. Success that we have is based on players going out there and executing and performing well in those situations. So, whether it's on the goal line or at the end of the half or on third down or in the red area or on the punt return team or whatever it is. I mean, those are the guys that go out there and make the plays. So if we make good ones, it's because they make good ones.
Two final questions.
When Brian Hoyer takes over the quarterback duties out of practice, like how does that affect, if at all, you know, the work that you guys get on a day like Wednesday, especially where he's just coming back, and maybe there's still a catch-up period for him to maybe be up to speed with the system, or is he already sort of where he needs to be to keep you guys operating at the level you want to be?
How about offensively?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, his job and his responsibility is to know the game plan and be able to go out there and execute it. That's what we expect, and that's what he does and can do. So we go out there and call a play. I mean, he needs to be able to go out there and run it, and he can. He does a good job of that.
Sort of with Ted Larson on the Dolphins, I was just curious, like, you guys actually had him when he came here. It's 8 years later. He's still in the league. Been a couple spots for him, stops for him along the way, but is there any surprise from you that just that he's been able to sustain, or is that one that you probably could have envisioned, and that if things had worked out differently, maybe he would have been here developing, you know, when you had him in 10, I think.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know, there's like 70 some guys in the league like that, so that have been here that are playing for somebody else, or I don't know, whatever the number is, it's a lot. 70 to 90, somewhere in there, depending on how you want to count the practice squad players and, you know, today's waiver wire versus yesterday's waiver wire. I mean, some, you know, there's a lot of guys out there, so it's one of the highest numbers in the league. So, I mean, there's a lot of guys out there. I mean,
when you say highest numbers, what do you mean? Guys that were here that are playing elsewhere?
I think we have more players that are playing on other teams than other teams. Or one of the, I don't know if we're the highest. We're one of the highest, I can tell you that. Yeah. Like, we're up there pretty high. But, you know, it depends on how you want to count them. Starters, roster players, IR, practice squad. I mean, you can, you know, run all the lists that you run and, you know, count them up however you want to count them up. But however you want to count them up, I think we'll be up there pretty high. So
every week, we've been, there's
90, let's call it 90 players. There's 30 teams. I mean, it's three a team, so we can talk about that every week. But we won't.
That's right. Friday, last question.
All right, thank you.